I thank you, Bibles, please turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. The Gospel of John, chapter 10, for the message this morning. I'd like to preach for about 15 minutes this morning. I never have done that, but I'd like to do it. I'm probably not going to do it this morning, but I'd like to do it. I'm hungry. I just got hungry a little while ago, and I told Brian, I said, let's go eat. He said, are you buying? I said, as hungry as I am, yes, I will. So I'd like to preach for about 15 minutes. I won't do that, but I'd like to. I am hungry. All right, John chapter 10. Let's begin reading, please, in verse 1. And we'll read several verses, so you follow along in your Bible as I read. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack there in front of you. You may feel free to use it. Beginning in verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. You know, the Pope says he has the keys. Well, he can have them. I got the door. Amen. That was free. It didn't cost you anything. Verse 8. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up, to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now, using this passage of Scripture this morning, I want to speak to you on this subject, Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Jesus, the Good Shepherd. The Lord Jesus says of himself in this passage, I am the Good Shepherd. So I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to bless and then the message. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful passage of Scripture. thank you for the great truths that are here. And I pray that as I speak on the subject of our Lord being the Good Shepherd, that it will motivate and stir each of our hearts today. Father, help us to see what a wonderful Savior we have, who watches over and cares, who encourages and lifts us up and provides. And Lord, I pray that you will meet with us this morning and empower the message from on high. And Lord, what I say this morning might lodge in someone's heart and just make a world of difference for them today as they realize this great truth. And Father, I pray that if there's even one person in this room today who is not 100% sure that they're saved and on their way to heaven, may they realize their need of the Savior this morning. And I pray that in a little while when we extend an invitation, that everyone will freely open their hearts and receive the Lord. So, Father, bless us now. We need your help, and I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit and help me as I speak. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. When the Lord Jesus spoke these words, I want you to understand the context. I want you to understand where he was and what was going on. He was in Jerusalem. And while he was on this trip, there were some amazing, wonderful things that transpired. We are told in the 9th chapter that there was a man who had been blind from birth. Now imagine that. This poor fellow was born blind. And now he is an adult. And the Lord Jesus is in Jerusalem, and this man comes into contact with the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus, with just the touch of his hand, heals this man of his blinded eyes. The man miraculously and instantly could see, and everyone saw this miracle take place. Can you imagine the stir? Can you imagine how excited everybody must have been to see this man who had been blind from birth, and now all of a sudden he can see as well as anybody else? Nobody had ever seen anything like that before. So you can imagine the buzz that was just everywhere at the fact that the Lord had performed this mighty miracle. Now, as you finish the 9th chapter where this man received his sight, and go into the 10th chapter, you see the Lord Jesus giving this great message that I read for you. And I didn't read it all, just read the first part of it, really. But you see this great message on how he taught the people that he is the Good Shepherd. Now, it may seem to you that there is no connection between the two happenings that I mentioned this morning. First of all, the healing of the man that was born blind and the message about him being the Good Shepherd. It may seem to you that there is no connection whatsoever between these two events. But I think with just a little imagination, we can see that the two were probably quite linked together. I dare say, think about it, I dare say that tucked away in the crowd of people that the Lord Jesus was speaking to in this 10th chapter about being the Good Shepherd, tucked away in that crowd that Jesus spoke to was this man whose sight had been restored in chapter 9. I can't say that for sure. But there seems to be no break in between chapter 9 and chapter 10. And so I can imagine that when the Lord Jesus was saying the words of chapter 10 about him being the Good Shepherd, that this man who had miraculously had his sight restored was no doubt standing in the crowd and listening while the Lord spoke these words. And I cannot help but think that as he listened to the words of the Savior that day, And as he feasted upon every single word that was being spoken, as he heard the Lord Jesus speak of being the good shepherd, he probably smiled from ear to ear and thought in his heart, wow, every word of what he is saying was spoken exactly and directly for me. I can just imagine that he thought that every word that Jesus was speaking was a word that was spoken directly to his heart. Now, you say, well, Pastor, why do you say that? Well, just think about it, folks. This man had been born blind. Now, because he was born blind, he was excommunicated by Judaism. He was excommunicated by these Pharisees that were standing there listening as Jesus spoke. Being born blind, he would not have been allowed into the synagogue. He would have been shunned by his family and by everybody else. Nobody wanted this man around them. He was born blind. And they had this attitude that if you had some infirmity, if you had some birth defect, it was because there was sin in your family and this was God's judgment upon you. And therefore they wanted nothing to do with the person that was being judged. So because he was blind, he would have been excommunicated by the Pharisees. They would have slammed the door of blessing right in his face. And yet, here's the Lord Jesus who had just healed him of his disease, of his blindness. Here is the Lord Jesus now standing in front of him and saying with an all-inclusive smile on his face, I am the door. Now, if you go back and read the 9th chapter, you will see that the Pharisees were filled with rage when he healed this man and then dared to speak to them about the subject of faith. After all, they saw themselves, they felt that they were the shepherds of the sheep. And yet the Lord Jesus turns right around and says, I am the good shepherd. And I dare say that there was not a more receptive heart anywhere in the crowd that day than this poor fella who had been born blind but was now healed by the touch of the Lord's hand. Now, I want us to think about our Lord's claim that he is the shepherd. This is really quite a common figure, an illustration that is used throughout the Bible. Throughout Scripture, we see rulers and prophets, kings, referred to as shepherds. It is in the book of Ecclesiastes that we find the teacher saying to those that would read his book of wisdom that he was the shepherd. And of course, the whole idea of a shepherd comes full circle when you get to Psalm 23, where David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You need to remember how many of God's great leaders in the Bible had been shepherds. You go back all the way back to Abraham, and you will see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They were all shepherds. Moses was keeping the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro, on the backside of the desert when God spoke to him out of the burning bush and called him to go down to Egypt and bring the children of Israel out into the land of Canaan. When Samuel came to anoint David to be the king over Israel, the boy he would anoint was not there. And the reason he was not there was because he was out taking care of his father's sheep. And they had to go and retrieve him and bring him from the sheep so that they could anoint him to be the king. You find Amos in the Old Testament, one of the minor prophets. You find Jeremiah, and both of these men identified themselves as being shepherds. Now, don't you think that the Lord Jesus was fully aware of Israel's past history with sheep herding and shepherds. Don't you think that the Lord Jesus was fully aware of all the history of shepherds in Israel as he was speaking on the subject on this day? The Israelites were known as shepherds, and sheep played a critical part in their worship of God. And now, in this great sermon, the Lord Jesus glorifies and crowns that ancient image by making it the express image of himself. So I want to use this passage of Scripture this morning, and I want to speak to you about the Lord Jesus being the Good Shepherd. From these verses, there are a few things that we can clearly see about our Lord and about what he did when he came for us, came to die for us 2,000 years ago. We can see clearly a few things about the Lord Jesus Christ when we look at him through the prism of being the Good Shepherd. There are four things that I call to your attention this morning. Number one, I want you to notice, and the text is very clear on this, that we see that Jesus knows his sheep. Jesus knows his sheep. Folks, when you read these verses, it becomes very clear to you that this was one of the main thoughts. This was one of the main points that was clearly on the mind of the Lord Jesus when he spoke these words. He wanted everybody to understand that as the Good Shepherd, he knows us. He knows who we are. I remember several years ago, this fella came up to me one Sunday right over there. It was his first time here. And I came down the aisle to come up on the platform to start the service. And he turned around and smiled and stuck his hand out. And I stuck my hand out and I said, "Good morning." I said, "I'm Pastor Norris. How are you?" And he said, I'm fine." I said, "What's your name?" He said, you're Pastor Belcher." I said, "Yes." "You're the senior pastor here." I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, you're much younger than I thought you'd be." And I said, "Stand still, sir. I want to give you a hug." Now, mind you, this was several years ago. No comments, please. And he smiled and told me his name. And so I shook his hand real hard. And then the service started. I came up on the platform. The next Sunday morning, I came in the door just about the same time, started down the same aisle, and there he was standing in the same spot. And when I walked up to him, I smiled, stuck out my hand, shook hands with him, and said, "Hey, how you doing?" And I called him by name. Well, when I called him by name, why, he lit up like a Christmas tree. He was so excited. He said, "You remembered my name." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "You know, I don't know why. I think it's because you said such nice things to me last week. That's why I remembered your name." And he said, I said, don't think that that's anything special." I said, "Most of the time, I can't even remember my own name. Thank you very much." But he smiled and he said, "Wow, that you remembered my name." And I walked on up. I preached the sermon, gave the invitation that morning. And down the aisle, he came and he joined the church. And I said, "Wow, you only here two Sundays and you joined the church." And he said, "But you remembered my name." And then I thought of all the other people that have said, "Hi, I'm so-and-so." And before I could even turn around, it went in this ear and went out the other. There's nothing special about, I can recognize faces. I know where you sit. But I'm not that good with names. Now, Dr. Smith was excellent with names. Yeah, oh yeah, if you met him once, he knew who you were. And he would call you by name the next time he saw you. He was excellent at that. And as good as he is at it, I'm as bad at it. But I remembered this guy's name. Well, folks, I want to serve notice on you. We serve a God that knows our names. We have a shepherd, the Lord Jesus, who knows his sheep. Now, I mention all that to say this. I'll guarantee you there was not one Pharisee in all of Jerusalem that knew this beggar by name, this blind man by name. I'll guarantee it. I'll guarantee you there was not one Pharisee in all of the city that knew this blind man's name. They passed him every day sitting in his spot where he would beg people to give him alms to so he could buy a little something to eat. But I'll guarantee you that not a one of them knew what his name was. But beggar or prince, all were the same to the Lord Jesus, and he knows his sheep. I read a story in one of D.L. Moody's sermons recently about a story that he told about a person in his church. And he used to evidently tell this story quite a bit from the way he explained it. But he said that that there was a family in his church, and the little girl, they had a little daughter who was very, very sick. And this was, of course, back in the 1800s, and medicine was not what it is today. And this little girl, being so sick, was at home and was just declining in her health. And as each passing day was coming and going, and her mother would come and sit by her bedside and would sing to her, and would take a cool rag and try to cool her brow, and would sit and stroke her hair. But no matter what the mother did, the little girl could not get comfortable, and the little girl was not able to rest. And the little girl would toss and grow anxious, and nothing seemed to help her. And in desperation, the mother reached down into the bed and lifted the little girl out and held her and clutched her in her arms and held her to her breast. And the little girl turned her face towards her mother. And with a smile on her face, she said, "Oh, Mama, that is what I needed. Oh, Mama, that is what I needed." And Moody's point was that even a mother with all of a mother's love can never really be 100% sure what her little girl is wanting. But folks, we are told here in this passage of scripture that the Lord Jesus knows his sheep. And because he knows each of us, he knows our wants, he knows our needs, he knows our trials, he knows our hopes, he knows every problem that we face, he knows our uprising, and he knows our downfalling, he knows when we are needy, he knows when we have all that we need. I'm telling you, folks, the Lord, our shepherd, knows his sheep. I was just reading in the Bible the other day in the great Sermon on the Mount. And it was after I had prepared this sermon, and I thought, wow, looky there. But I was reading the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord got to the end of that great sermon. And when he got to the end of it, he was talking about the multitudes of people who hear the Lord, who will one day hear the Lord Jesus say at the great white throne judgment, "Depart from me, I never," what's the next word? "Knew you." Isn't it good to know here in June of 2012? Isn't it good to know that if you're saved, the Lord knows you? But folks, we read in the Sermon on the Mount that the Lord Jesus said that there's coming a day at the great white throne judgment when multitudes will be standing before the Lord, and the Lord is going to look at them and say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." The promise here is he knows his own. But if you don't know him, he doesn't know you. And you'll have to hear those sad words, depart from me into everlasting judgment. What a sad thing it is, folks, to realize that there are a multitude of people who will reject the grace and goodness of God. And the Bible says that they will be cast into outer darkness to spend all eternity outside of the presence of God in an eternal hell. But that same Jesus is saying to us today, I am the good shepherd. Oh, what comfort that is to a child of God. There's a second thing that we see here. I said, first of all, that we see that Jesus knows his sheep. But then secondly, we see that the sheep know their shepherd. The sheep know their shepherd. Not only does the shepherd know each and every one of his sheep, but the amazing thing is the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. If you will look, please, verse 14. The Lord Jesus said that he knows his sheep, and he said, I am known of mine. In verse 27, I didn't read it for you, but look down at verse 27. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, folks, don't forget that the Jews were shepherds. That's what they did, the majority of them. They were shepherds. Every man standing in the crowd listening to our Lord speak these words knew exactly what the Savior was saying about the sheep was true. Every one of them were familiar with the ways of keeping sheep. And they knew sheep. They understood them. They knew what it took to be a shepherd. And so every man standing in the crowd that day knew exactly what the Savior was saying about the sheep was true. And what the Lord said was, the sheep know the voice of the shepherd and they follow his voice. I remember reading several years back, I preached a series of messages on the 23rd Psalm. I believe it was when I was pastoring in Illinois. I preached a series of sermons on the 23rd Psalm. And there was a story in one of the authors that I was reading about that Psalm, and he was going to do a commentary on the 23rd Psalm, so he wanted to learn everything he could about sheep. And he told about leaving his home here in the States and going to Israel and living in and among some people that herded and farmed sheep for a living. And he wanted to find out if all the things that are said in the 23rd Psalm about sheep were true. And so he interviewed shepherds and spoke with people who raised sheep for a living. And he found this one shepherd and asked him if he would help him with an experiment. And the shepherd said, well, of course, I'll do what I can to help you. And he said, what I'd like to do is exchange clothing with you. Now, this man, this shepherd, was dressed in Middle Eastern garb. And, of course, the author was dressed in Western clothing. And so in the house, they switched clothes. And the Jewish shepherd put on the Western clothing, the pants and the shirt and the jacket. And the Westerner, the American, put on the robe of the shepherd and the garb of a Middle Easterner. And so they went then out to the sheep. And when the stranger looked at the sheep, he called for them, but they didn't even look up. There was no response whatsoever. The sheep just kept their heads down and just continued on like nobody had even said a word. And then the Jewish man who was dressed in the Western clothing, gave a simple command, and every one of those sheep raised his head and immediately followed their shepherd. Now, you see, it was the voice. It was not the dress. It was the voice. It was not the dress. It was the voice that they knew. Let me say it this way. These sheep had ears to hear what the shepherd said. Do you see that? They had ears to hear. Hey, folks, how many times in your Bible are we admonished in Scripture to have an ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church? Oh, that every believer had an ear to hear the voice of the shepherd. My friend, if you're saved, the shepherd knows you. He knows you. But the Bible also says, and the Savior also says, the shepherd also says, not only does he know you, but the sheep know his voice. When's the last time you've heard the voice of the Lord speaking to your heart? When's the last time, Christian, that the voice of the Lord touched a chord upon your soul and brought music out of it, huh? When's the last time? You see, we're admonished all through the Bible that we need to have ears to hear what the Spirit saith to the church. I wish every believer had an ear to hear the voice of the shepherd. You see, every sheep in the flock has got this innate, built-in earmark. It can be, and that earmark is that he can hear the voice of the shepherd. And he can tell the voice of the shepherd from a stranger's voice. And every sheep in the herd has got an innate, built-in footmark. When he hears the voice of the shepherd, he then follows the shepherd. So he's got a built-in earmark. He's got a built-in footmark. Let me ask you something, Christian. Have you been branded on the ear and on the foot by the shepherd? Can you hear him when he speaks? And do you follow when you hear his voice? Oh, these are two marks of ownership on every sheep. And I can't help but think back to Samuel when he was a boy and he was in the house of Eli and God spoke to him. But you remember, Samuel couldn't hear. He heard the voice, but he couldn't hear the voice. He thought that it was Eli speaking to him from the next room. So he got up and he went into the next room and said, yes, sir, what do you need? And he said, I don't need anything. What are you doing? He said, you called for me. No, I didn't call for you. Go back to bed. So the young Samuel went back in and crawled into bed. And no sooner had he gotten back in bed and got the covers all pulled up around his neck, he heard it again. And he got up and he went in. He said, yes, sir, what can I do for you? He said, no, I didn't call for you. Go on in. And finally, the third time he came in and he said, I heard you call. No, I didn't call. And then Eli, the man of God, quote unquote, Eli realized what was going on. And he said, now, Samuel, the next time you hear somebody speak to you, you just simply answer, yea, Lord, thy servant heareth. Yes, Lord, what can I do for you? And sure enough, he went back in and God spoke to him again. And when he did, Samuel responded and said, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. I'm saying, folks, the shepherd calls, and when he calls, we need to hear his voice. And if you check the record, you will see that from that moment on, Samuel never missed the voice of God again. Never missed it again. Oh, I tell you, I think if you just listen one time, and in just one time follow what the Lord leads you to do, you'd never miss when God speaks to your heart again. You'd never miss it. Oh, if we just listen once. Then there's a third principle. I said, first of all, that we see that Jesus knows his sheep. I said, secondly, that the sheep know their shepherd. But then thirdly, I want you to notice that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He lays down his life for the sheep. Now, folks, if you think about it, that seems like a strange thing for a shepherd to do. You see, we never think of a shepherd as being a hero, do we? We never think of a shepherd as being a hero. But for people who make their living with sheep, you cannot allow even one of those little lambs to be taken. If a wolf gets a taste for fresh lamb chops, that wolf is not going to be satisfied with just one meal. He's going to come back. If a thief sees that the shepherd is not paying attention, if the shepherd is supposed to be watching over the flock and instead he's laying out somewhere under a shade tree taking a nap, that thief, lazy scoundrel, is going to think to himself, wow, boy, sure would be easy to steal one of those. And if he's too lazy to work and he steals one, mark it down. He's not going to quit at just one. So all of the watching and all of the feeding and all of the watering is all in vain unless he is willing to fight for the lambs under his care. The shepherd didn't know. He did not know when his defenseless lambs would be attacked. And so he had to be ever ready and willing to risk his own safety and risk his own life, if need be, to protect those little lambs. And I'm so glad the shepherd of my soul said that he would lay his life down for me. I mean, he not only said that he would do it, folks, he actually did it. He didn't just say, I'm going to do it. He did it. You know, a lot of folks that say they're going to do stuff and they don't follow through on it. There's a lot of folks and their bark is a whole lot bigger than their bite. I remember one time when we were little and we had this little Chihuahua dog. And that little Chihuahua dog thought that it weighed 500 pounds. That little Chihuahua dog thought its teeth were the sharpest and biggest teeth of any dog on the planet. And that little dog, we were going to the store one time when we lived up Campbell's Creek, and we were going to the store one time, and Mom had that little Chihuahua walking along beside of it, and all of a sudden, here come a big old German Shepherd, and that little old Chihuahua dog was just took off running, its hair all hackled up, you know, standing straight on edge and a snarl on its mouth, and it's barking and clawing and biting at the fence that was separating. And we all were laughing about it later, said, you know, if that fence hadn't been there, how tough would that dog have been? Because on the other side was a German Shepherd that could have gulped that thing down in one swallow. But you know, when our Lord says he's going to do something, he does it. He said, I will lay my life down for the sheep in verse 15. And you know, it wasn't just him speaking, it was him doing. He did what he said he was going to do. I'm so glad that he did what he said he was going to do. You see, folks, the cross of Jesus Christ is the noblest deed that has ever been done. When Jesus went to the cross, it was not an accident. It was action. He planned to go to that cross. That's the reason he came. He did not come for any other reason than to die on Calvary's cross, where on that cross he took your sin and my sin and paid its awful penalty in full. It was not an accident, it was an action. And so you and I, he did it so you and I could be protected from the enemy. The shepherd laid down his life for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And I say to you this morning that it is the crowning service of the shepherd to give his life for the sheep. And then lastly, I want you to notice number four. The shepherd has sheep outside the fold. We read this in verse 16. He said, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. You see, folks, to the Jews, there was only one fold. To the Pharisees that were listening to this, there was just one fold. The only way in was to be a Jew. And as we've already seen, you couldn't have any infirmities. You couldn't be blind. You weren't welcome. You couldn't have a crippled limb. You weren't welcome. You could not have a birth defect. You weren't welcome. Jesus said, I'm the door. And anybody can go in and out. And not only Jews, but Gentiles as well. You see, Paul kind of helps us with this when he tells us that salvation is of the Jews. And then he went on to say, meaning that Jesus was a Jew, the author of our salvation was a Jew. But then he went on to say, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek, Gentiles, to you and to me. But even here, in this statement, we can see the whosoever will mindset of the great shepherd. Whosoever will may come. I mean, he came as the great shepherd because he loves the whole world. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And Jesus makes the point here. He said that he has other sheep outside of the fold. And this is one reason why so many Jews, and especially the Pharisees, were so filled with hatred and rage towards the Lord Jesus, because he not only accepted the Jews, but he accepted those unwanted Jews, and he accepted the Gentiles as well. I mean, here's that old Roman soldier. I mean, a Gentile, hated and despised by the Jews. This man's got a spear and he's got a sword. He's got armament on. He is a tyrant. He is an intruder in their land. And yet the Lord Jesus opens his arms with a warm embrace and welcomes him into the fold. They didn't like that. They made accusation against him. This man receiveth sinners. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm glad he does. Because that's what I was when he found me. That's what you were, by the way, when he found you. You remember that Gentile Phoenician woman, that Syrophoenician. She just reaches out and touches the hem of his garment as he goes by. He stops and says, somebody's touched me. Oh, Lord, it was me. Forgive me. I'm sorry. It's all right. Take all you need. And she did. She got a whole lot more than she bargained for. All I can say is thank God for the other sheep who are allowed into the fold. Because you know what that means? That means, dear friend, that an old hillbilly that came out of a holler down in West Virginia can get in to the fold. That means that you can get into the fold. When you were lost and undone, when you were out here not seeking God, but seeking your own, God reached out in love and mercy and spoke to your heart and called you to himself. You better thank the Lord that he reaches out and saves old sinners. I have sheep that are not of this fold. And he said, them also I must bring, and that they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and I am the shepherd. Oh, how we should thank God for this great illustration of inclusiveness in salvation. It is not how much money you have. It is not how good looking you are. It is not where you live. It is not what kind of car you drive. It is not how much money you've got in the bank. It is not how much education you have. It is not whether you wear designer clothes or not. It is not anything to do with your family background. It is not anything about where you have your membership in the church, in a church. It is not about any of that. Thank goodness none of that counts. The only thing that counts is you got a shepherd that said, if you'll just open the door of your heart, let me in, I'll come in and stand guard over your sheep house. I'll come in and stand guard over you, and I'll make sure that no thief comes and steals you away. I'll make sure that there's no hungry lions sitting outside waiting on you to come out the door. I'll be your good shepherd as well. Folks, plainly, it's not in anything else. It's in whom you trust. And you must trust the Savior, the good shepherd. I want you to ask yourself this question. I mean, everybody in here, ask yourself this question and I'll be done. I want you to just kind of act like there's nobody here except for you and me. And I want to ask you this question. I don't want you to answer it out loud. I want you to answer it right here in your own heart. Nobody else is here, just the two of us. And I want to ask you this question. Should something happen to you and you should go out into eternity this morning, do you know for sure, beyond any shadow of doubt, that you would go to heaven? Do you know that? You say, well, Pastor, I sure hope I would. Didn't ask you if you hope you would. I'm asking you, do you know that you would? And if you don't know that you would, you need the shepherd this morning. It's just that simple. You need the shepherd because the shepherd wants you to know him and he know you. But the only way that can happen is for you to put your faith and trust in him. You know what this Bible says? This Bible says that if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And there is no difference, Jew or Greek, doesn't matter. For whosoever, do you know what that means? That means whosoever in this crowd, anybody, doesn't make any difference where you're from, how old you are, how much education you've got, how much money you got in your pocket, none of that matters. What matters is the shepherd wants to be your shepherd. And you must trust him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, I hope you'll call on him this morning.